Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Brick Lab Jungle Call and Response riff in Ableton Live 12, and the big goal is to make it feel human, musical, and ready to sit inside a proper D&B arrangement. So this is not just about chopping a break and looping it. We're going to make the break feel played. That means tiny timing shifts, smarter velocity choices, a real question and answer, shape between phrases, and then arranging the whole thing so it actually lands like a section, not just a repeating idea. If you've ever had a break that sounded cool but somehow still felt a little too gridlocked, this is the fix. We're going to give it movement, tension, and personality. First, pick a break with character. You want something with a clear snare, some ghost notes, and enough body to survive slicing. If the sample is already crushed to death, it can still work, but you'll have less room to shape it. Drag it into Ableton, warp it if needed, and if the section is clean enough, consolidate or crop it so you're working with the exact part you want. Now, if the break has enough transient detail, slice it to a new MIDI track. For an intermediate workflow, slicing by transients is usually the fastest route, but if the break is more chopped up already, a 1/16 slice can give you a more controlled starting point. The key here is to think like a drum programmer, not a loop launcher. Now build a 2-bar phrase with a clear call and response. Think of bar 1 as the call. That's where the main identity of the break lives. Put your strongest kick and snare hits in place, then add a few ghost notes or little syncopated details so it has motion. Bar 2 becomes the response. This is where you answer the first phrase with a variation. Maybe you drop a kick, maybe you add a pickup before the snare, maybe you change the last 2/8 notes so the listener hears, oh, that's the reply. That push and pull is what makes Jungle and D&B feel alive. The drums are conversing. They're not just repeating. A good way to think about it is like this. If the call is dense, make the response a little leaner. If the call is open, answer with a busier turn or a small fill. That contrast creates the riff. You're not just programming rhythm, you're programming attitude. Once the pattern is in place, it's time to humanize it. And here's the important part. Don't humanize randomly. Don't just grab a bunch of notes and throw them around for no reason. Move notes with intention. A tiny delay on a ghost note can make it feel heavier and more laid back. Nudging a hit slightly early can create urgency and forward motion. So use both, but use them in different places. Keep your main snare and kick anchors fairly tight, and then let the smaller notes breathe around them. If you're working in MIDI, open the groove pool and try a subtle groove. Keep it restrained. In Jungle and Rollers, too much swing can make the break feel cartoonish fast. A little amount goes a long way. You can also manually offset a few notes by just a few milliseconds, especially the ghost hits. The goal is not sloppiness. The goal is pocket. Now shape the velocity. This is one of the fastest ways to make the break feel like a real performance. Your main snare should hit hard. Your supporting kicks can be slightly lower, and your ghost notes should sit much lower still. If every hit is at the same velocity, the break turns into a machine gun. That might be useful in some contexts, but for a humanized jungle riff, you want accent grammar. You want some notes to feel like statements and others to feel like punctuation. A practical range might be strong snare hits in the 100 to 127 range, supporting kicks around 85 to 110, and ghost notes somewhere in the 25 to 70 range. The exact numbers matter less than the contrast. If the first snare in the call hits hard and the response snare comes in a little softer, that already makes the phrase feel more conversational. If you're using simpler or a sliced drum rack, you can also map velocity to a little bit of filter cutoff or transient change. Keep it subtle. Softer hits can sound a touch darker, harder hits can pop a little more. That gives the performance more realism without overprocessing it. Now let's get the drum bus under control. Group the break and run it through some stock Ableton processing. Drum bus is a great place to start. Add a little drive, but don't flatten the life out of it. Then use EQA to clear unnecessary low end, and cut any muddy buildup in the low mids if the break is fighting the bass. After that, glue compressor can help hold the whole thing together with just a bit of gain reduction. If you want a little more density, a touch of saturator with soft clip-on can do the job nicely. The key is punch, not punishment. You want the transients to stay sharp enough to cut through the bass line. Indeed, NB. The break and the low end need to share space without stepping on each other. Now let's make the response section feel like a real answer, not just a copied bar. This is where editing becomes musical. Try removing the kick on beat one of the response, or add a tiny snare flam, or reverse a short slice leading into the downbeat. Even one missing hit can create a huge amount of tension if the rest of the phrase is strong. Another really effective move is to let the response phrase start just a little later than expected. That slight displacement can create a nasty off-balance feel without changing the whole groove. You can also swap one quiet ghost note from the call into the response so the two phrases feel connected. That kind of subtle continuity helps the riff feel intentional. If the call is dense and aggressive, the response can be leaner and more open. If the call is sparse, the response can be the burst of energy. That contrast is what keeps the listener locked in. Now arrange it around the bass. This part matters a lot. Don't think of the break as something sitting on top of the track. Think of it as part of the conversation with the bass line. If the bass is busy, simplify the break response. If the bass drops out, let the drums get more animated. That push-pull is one of the secrets to a strong DNB section. A simple arrangement strategy is two bars of call with the bass supporting the groove, then two bars of response where the bass simplifies and gives the break more room, then a four-bar turnaround with a fill, a transition, or a little effects moment that resets the ear. You can also use simple arrangement logic across 8 or 16 bars. Start with the main riff, then add a hat variation or a snare fill, then strip out a kick or a percussion layer, then bring the full energy back in for payoff. That way the section evolves instead of looping forever. Next, add transition detail and a little tension automation. This is the stuff that makes the arrangement feel finished. Try automating an auto filter on a parallel layer for a build. Add a little reverb send on select snare hits, not the whole break. Use a reverse style lead-in before a downbeat. Narrow the stereo a touch before the drop, then open it back up after. You can also automate drum bus drive slightly higher in the final bars, or move a filter on the bass so the bass line seems to answer the break. These are small moves, but they create momentum. Often the best edits are the ones you feel more than hear. Now do a low-end check, because this is critical in DNB. Put utility on the break bus and listen in mono. If the groove falls apart in mono, that's a sign the break is leaning too hard on stereo tricks or facey layers. Keep the true sub separate from the break body. Use EQ to keep the low-end clean. And if the bass is clashing with the break, shorten the bass notes around the snare moments or carve out a little extra space. The break should feel powerful, but it should not smear the foundation. A really good test is to mute the sub for a moment and listen to the break on its own. If the rhythm still reads clearly without the low end helping it, your edits are strong. If it only works when the bass is masking the timing, go back and make the break phrase clearer. One great pro move is to resample once the break is feeling good. Print it to audio, then chop it again. That second-generation edit often sounds more alive than endless MIDI tweaking, because the imperfections become part of the texture. That's a very real jungle workflow, and it can give you something unique fast. If you want to go heavier, you can also build a parallel crunch layer. Duplicate the break, process the copy more aggressively with saturator, EQ, and maybe some compression. Then blend it underneath a clean break. That gives you more bite without losing the shape of the original. Now here's the bigger picture. This technique really lives in the edits area of drum and bass production because the power is in the decisions, where you cut, what you remove, what you repeat, and how you shape the phrase so the listener feels the conversation. In jungle, the break doesn't just keep time. It creates urgency, tension, and identity. So if you remember nothing else, remember this. Build the break as a call and response. Use velocity and timing to humanize it. Keep the accents strong and the ghosts lighter. Arrange it around the bass instead of separately from it, and use small edits to make big energy. For your practice, try this. Load one jungle break, slice it to MIDI, build a two-bar call and response riff, humanize at least four velocities and three note positions, then make one variation with a missing kick, one extra ghost note, and one short fill or reverse lead-in. Put it through drum bus, EQ8, and glue compressor. Then add a simple bass line and arrange the whole thing into 8 bars with one automation move, like a filter sweep or a reverb hit. Then loop it and ask yourself one question. Does it sound programmed, or does it sound played? If it sounds played, you're in the zone. That's the jungle sweet spot.